Psalm 27, and it says at the top, a Psalm of David. So who do you think wrote this? Amen. David, of course, wrote this. And we have a saying all week long, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? Guess how this psalm starts out. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That song came exactly from this psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David gives you three different things that the Lord is to him. He said, he's my salvation. He said, he's my light. And he said, he's my strength. He said, and if that is the case, who do I have to fear? He goes on to talk to you about some people that could make him fear. Verse 3, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What are you so confident in, David? The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? He goes on to talk in verses 4, 5, and 6 about some of his desires. Read with me starting in verse number 4. Down to verse 6. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. The background of this Psalm of David's is to believe to be one of two times. Some believe it was the time of King Saul's going after David when he was a fugitive running for his life. Others believe it was a time when he was running from Absalom, when Absalom overthrew him as king, and he was trying to find his way around the areas of the forest. And he penned this one down something. He had a small victory when he managed to get away from Absalom at that time. Either way, David in this psalm expresses two areas in his life that are very, very consistent with your life and my life. Verses 1 through 6 reflect his faith in God's almighty protection. Verses 7 through 14 reflect his fear of maybe the inevitable. Having victory and being a victim, needing deliverance and needing dependence, having confidence and at times being cowardly, much like our walk with the Lord, if we're honest. And so in this particular psalm here, whether it's on the run from Saul or whether it's from Absalom, he starts off with his faith. And that's what we'll look at today. The next week, he goes and explains some of the fears that he has. Think about this. We've asked this question, what will you need the Lord to be tomorrow? What will you need him to be the remainder of today or perhaps this week or this month? What about this year? We really don't know. One thing we do know, and I believe we can all agree, the Lord wants to be our light, our salvation, and the strength of our life, just like he was to David, through the times of great faith and through the times of great fear. I believe that's what God wants us to know. He is our light. He is our salvation. He is the strength of our lives. Father, bless now in the next moments that we have together. God, be for us what we need you to be for us every day through all situations. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for David letting us know who you are being to him at this particular time in his life. Lord, David says you're his light, you're his salvation, you're the strength of his life. And as a result, he does not have need to fear. Lord, not many verses below, he does express some of the fears that he has. Oh God, that's how we are. We vacillate back and forth. We are faithful to trust you one minute and fearful to trust you the next. God, help us to see David. And in seeing David, help us to see ourselves. Lord, I know you want to be our light. You are our salvation. Lord, you want to be the strength of our life. Help us to glean some blessings from David's life that we could see maybe we need to implement in our own lives as we rely upon you as our light and as our salvation and the strength of our life. Open our minds, open our hearts, and Lord, may we receive the word of God, the purity of it, that our thoughts, the intents of our heart may be discerned. Lord, we may, like the Proverbs say, trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lord, we would not lean onto our own understanding, but all our ways acknowledge you to have you direct our paths. God, I don't know the path of everyone here today, but you know. And you know the impact that the message will have on each listener today. Help each listener not to be concerned about what's going on to their right, to their left, or behind them, but solely focused on what's in front of them via the word of God. And then the Holy Spirit, prick hearts. Help us to make decisions that need to be made. Help us to put faith where faith needs to be and to trust you through fearful times, even when we can't see the way. We thank you for David's life. Lord, bless now. If there's one that needs to be saved today, direct that man, that woman, that boy or girl to Christ. They may see only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we be saved and redeemed, born again, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. Bless now the next moments that we have. Bless the message and song that, Lord, you through all things will be glorified and uplifted. Use me as your servant today. And, Lord, may we truly leave here differently than when we came in, more knowledgeable about the Savior, more knowledgeable about your way, and more conformed and transformed into Christ's likeness in everything that we think, say, and do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Lord, meaning Jehovah, he's self-existent, means he's got all the power that he needs. And then we saw the Lord is, and we saw the potential that he has to be what we need him to be. It says the Lord is, and then my, we talked about how he is so personal to you and I. The Lord is my. And so personally, he wants to have the potential to do in your life what he has the power to do. Amen. And by the way, what is that? Anything that you need. Amen. We saw the first week, the Lord is my shepherd. And David said, as my shepherd, he provides for me. And then we saw last week, the Lord is good. And because he's good, he desires us to praise him. Amen. And today we're going to look at another aspect of the Lord. David said, he is my light, my salvation, and my strength. Amen. By the way, dealing with this aspect, I broke it down and said that the first half, verses 1 through 6, dealing with David's faith, and then his fears in verses 7 through 14. But verse number 1 kind of sets up the entire psalm. And David says, because of who the Lord is, that's why I'm not worried. That's why I'm not worried. Because of who he is, that's why I'm not worried. Amen. And so that's how we're going to look at it. We'll cover verse 1, and hopefully we'll get further than verse 1 today to be able to step down here to the first 6 verses dealing with David's faith. Because if we're honest, we all have mountaintop experiences. Amen. How many of y'all can agree with that? Mountaintop experiences? Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I'm on top of the world. Amen. Can't beat me. I'm king of the hill. Catch me if you can. And we're all that. Then if we're honest, we walk down the street and walk around the corner and somebody dented our car and we're all the way down here. And now we're afraid. Fear, I can't pay this. Who's going to fix my car? What's going to happen with this? And David is no stranger to fear. And he's no stranger to faith, being a man after God's own heart. And so this first verse sets up the entire psalm of what David is dealing with and what he's talking about. Whether David is on the run from Saul or Absalom, the fact still remains that he called on God as his light, his salvation, and his strength. Both ones he escaped at different times, and so he's going to have those aspects of faith. But then there was those times when Saul closed in on him and could have had him if it were not for a messenger to send him away. There were times when Absalom was getting close to him. It wasn't but for the grace of God that God enabled him to escape. And so whether Saul is in question or whether Absalom is in question here is beside the point. The main crux of it is that David says, I want you to notice three things here that Jehovah God is to me. Let me let you know why I don't have to be afraid. And by the way, the same things that work for David work for you and I. Amen. He talks about these first three things that Jehovah is to him. First of all, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. As my light, David's saying, I can see. By the way, if you have lights, you can see. How many of y'all know how it feels to walk in the dark? Amen. It is not fun. Don't try to go down the stairs in the dark, especially if you got children. They have a tendency to leave things on the steps. Sometimes you may leave something on the steps. It is not fun to walk in the dark. David said, he is my light. The definition is he's my illumination or he's my brightness. Jehovah is my clear daylight. He is my morning sun. I can see. I don't know about you. You may have been born and raised in Tucson. I was not. I was born and raised in Illinois, and I love waking up to the morning sunlight. Cloudy days don't do the same for me like sunny days. When it's cloudy outside, it seems like it stays darker longer. I listened to the weather forecast last night. It says 77 degrees and sunny today. Well, guess what? About 7:30, it wasn't sunny. We had clouds over in Vail, over the mountains. And I thought, where's all that sunshine at? Oh, where's that good old-fashioned sun that normally comes down? The weather person lied. By the time we came to church, guess what I felt? Good old-fashioned sunlight. Hey, with sunlight, you can see. I was raised in Illinois. I came to Tucson. I thought it doesn't get any better than Tucson to have all this sunshine. Anybody ever been to Europe? Anybody ever been to Belgium in particular, besides Pastor White? Belgium doesn't know sun. When it comes out, you're like Count Dracula. Oh, sun, no. I went from sunny Tucson, where you get sun all the time, to Belgium, where you get no sun. And guess how I felt? Miserable. The house that my wife and I moved in, they had flowery wallpaper on the wall, bright yellows and reds, and I'm talking stuff to make your eyes pop out. You walk in some of those rooms, like, oh, can you turn this room down? They have flowers all over the place. Why? Because they don't get any sunshine. They need some illumination. And they felt like, hey, if I can't get it outside by looking up because I see clouds, when I walk in my house will light me up. And well, it did. So I went from sunny Tucson to Belgium back to Tucson. Guess what I said when I got here, preacher? Whoa, it's good to be back in the sun. I actually got lighter in Belgium. You see, I can't tell. It's because I've been in Tucson for the last 20 years. Amen. I went over to Belgium for 11 years, and I lightened up significantly. Came back to Tucson, didn't take long to darken back up, amen? Get out there in that sun, it'll get you, amen? So what is David saying here? He's saying the Lord is my illumination. He is my sunlight. He is my morning sun. He's my clear daylight. I can see, and guess what? When you can see, you can get through anything. Hey, if you've got sight, if you can see, if the pathway is clear, guess what? I can navigate through life. I'm not worried about Absalom. I'm not worried about Saul. Why? I can see. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. When the Lord is your light, you can see where you're going. You don't have to mess around and stub your toe. Not only did he say, the Lord is my light, second thing he said, and my salvation, whom shall I fear? As my salvation, David is saying, not only can I see with light, I am saved as a saint. I am saved. The definition of salvation there is liberty. David said, I have liberty. I have deliverance. I have safety. I'm saved. By the way, anybody know what tomorrow's date is? Tomorrow's February 3rd. Guess what happened to me February 3rd, 1991, over in cloudy Belgium. I got the light of Jesus Christ, amen. My wife and I got saved February 3rd, 1991, 29 years ago from tomorrow. And guess what I am? I am saved. Guess what David said? I am saved. I can see. Guess what I said? I can see. I am saved. Calvary Baptist Church, Hershey's, Belgium, 1991. My wife and I got saved. I've never gotten over that day. I can still see Brother Dunn's face to this day. I had so many questions, he did not want to be bothered with my questions. He wanted to take me in the back and give me a quick plan of salvation, get me saved, and get me out. I wasn't going for it. I wanted to know more about this light. I wanted to know more about this salvation. I wanted to know more about the strength of my life. I wanted to know who was saving me, why they were saving me, what's going to happen after I get saved, what's going to happen 10 years from now, why did God do this, and why did God do that, and why did he do that? And Brother Dunn's just like, oh, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. And I'm thinking, you better make time, because we're going to be here all day. I got all these questions. Why do we have this? Why do we have that? Why do people do this? Why do people do that? Why did God say this? Why did he do it here and he didn't do it there? Why is it here and why is it not there? What about all this? You know what he kept giving me? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He just kept going through that. I'm like, well, wait a minute, what about my questions? You know what his basic answer was? If you don't get the main question answered, the rest of your questions don't matter. And the main question is, son, you're lost. You're not saved. And except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, what about this and what about that? He said, don't worry about that right now. You need to worry about getting saved right now, because all these questions you got, we're going to be until you die. And so you need to get saved. My wife went and got saved just like that. I mean, she was saved inside of 20 minutes. 20 minutes. She was looking for me. 2.5 hours later, I finally came out of the room, weeping, pushing back the tears. I'm saved. I looked at my wife. She looked at me. I could tell she had some change about her. She had a glow, and she already had beautiful eyes already. But when she got saved, they were like, boing. And I thought, something happened to her. And I think she saw something happen to him. He's happy. He ain't had nothing to drink. Amen. And I was like, yes, I am happy. I didn't have anything to drink. I had no drugs. It's not things that I'm doing undercover. Hey, I'm just happy I'm not going to hell. And guess what? I have never gotten over February 3rd, 1991. It'll be 29 years tomorrow since I got saved. 29 years. What am I talking about? I'm saved, I'm secure, I'm set apart, I'm serving, I'm still growing in the Lord's salvation. And guess what? I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of going to hell. I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. Amen. I'm bound for the promised land. I can sing that song, G2. I am bound for the promised land. Hey, I'm saved. What is David saying? David said, as the Lord is my light, I can see. As my salvation, I am saved. And then he says, whom shall I fear? And then he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. The third thing he says, he's the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? As the strength of his life, David is saying, I'm strong, or I am strengthened. Not only am I saved, not only can I see, but I'm strengthened and I am saved. By the way, my strength is sufficient. My grace is sufficient, God told Paul. My grace is sufficient. And so Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I what? Strong. The definition of strength means fortified, defense, fortress, rock. So David is saying the Lord is the fortified place of my life, the defensed place of my life, the fortress of my life, the rock of my life, or the stronghold of my life. And as a result, of whom shall I be afraid? By the way, if I can see, I have light. I am saved. The Lord is my salvation. If I have the strength of my life in the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom shall I be afraid? The worst you can do is kill me and send me to heaven. The worst King Saul could do is kill me and send me to heaven. The worst Absalom can do is kill me and send me to heaven. That's the worst they can do. David starts out by saying, you know what? The Lord is my light. Let me ask you a question. Do you have measure light today? Do you have measure salvation today? Do you have another strength of your life today? Because if you don't, David gives you some encouragement. You will be afraid. You'll be afraid to die. You'll be afraid of things you don't need to be afraid of. But when he's your light, when he's your salvation, when he's the strength of your life, you get your strength from him. You get your everything from him. So as David is starting this first verse here, as my light I can see, as my salvation, I'm saved. As the strength of my life, I am strong. And with these opening declarations of his being, he begins to go into the rest of this. Even though he starts off of whom shall I fear, he's not at that point yet. He's still in the faith part. He's still excited that the Lord is his light, his salvation, his strength of his life. He's still excited that he is saved, he can see, and he has strength. Then David goes on to detail some things about the past, the present, and the potential future of his life with his Lord. By the way, I don't know about you, but sometimes the life of faith is a roller coaster. Sometimes you're on top of the world, and other times you go down, and sometimes it's in the moment of a phone call. Sometimes it's in the moment of just going to your school. Sometimes it's in the moment of just going into work. Sometimes it's in a moment of going home and a child telling you something. Sometimes it's in a moment of a conversation and it goes from bad to worse. Just at the phone call, I'll let you know. I don't know about you. This time last week, Kobe Bryant died. And boy, did that shake some people up. I don't even know the man. And it shook me up. I thought, man, he's only 41. He's only 41, and he didn't plan on dying today. I'm 56. I don't plan on dying today. Now, I've got insurance. I've got all those things that go along with that. But guess what? I don't plan on dying. But if the truth be known, guess what? I do plan on dying. That's why I have insurance. Because I plan on dying. I just don't plan on it being today. I don't plan on it being today. Neither do I plan on it going in a helicopter. I've stricken that off my list. Helicopters. Hey, doesn't matter. It can happen in a car. It can happen in an airplane. It can happen at your home. It can happen when you're driving legally. I still use the example of Charmaine Pelt. Many of y'all remember her. Her dad was killed by a drunk driver. He was doing absolutely nothing wrong. And a drunk driver came in the lane and hit him head on and killed him instantly. So it doesn't have to be something that you're doing wrong, something you're doing undercover. You could get killed at any time. Not that Kobe Bryant was doing something wrong. His time was up. It's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. David said, look, I don't know if Absalom's going to kill me. I don't know if Saul's going to kill me. I don't know what's going to happen. The one thing I know, I've got light. I can see. I have salvation. I am saved. And I have strength. He's the strength of my life. I don't know what's going to happen. So David begins to go into some things about the past and the present and potential future of his life by faith, knowing what he knows. First of all, by faith, David says, by faith, I'm going to go through some personal wars. And it's all based on my past deliverances. Notice verse number 2. David saw some categorized opponents stumbling, the wicked enemies and foes. Notice verse number 2 down there. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, for some of y'all, that's one person. Your enemy is your foe and they are wicked. For some folks, it's different people. Enemies are enemies, foes are foes, and wicked people are wicked people. Amen. But when you look at this, there are different definitions to these. Amen. What am I talking about? When you're looking at a wicked person, this is someone physically or socially or morally bad. They're mischief. They're harmful to you. They can rob you. Amen. And that is someone that would be wicked. You don't want to be around wicked people. How many of y'all work around wicked people? Isn't it miserable? It's miserable being around wicked people. You got to watch your wallet. You got to watch where you put your keys at. They might go in there and get a copy of them. Yeah, I mean, wicked people just, it's tough being around wicked people. Hey, the Bible says that when Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked exceedingly. You know what that means? Bad, 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 very bad, bad, bad. And so you're looking at the worst of the worst of the worst. Amen. Wicked, physically, socially, morally bad. David said, I've got some categorized appointments and they stumbled mine enemies. Enemies are people that are adversaries or opposing you or troublers. May I add to that, enemies can be at your job. They can be in your family. They can be friends disguising themselves as friends. It doesn't take but a moment to create an enemy. Hey, you get something that they want, they can turn wicked and they can turn into an enemy. They can be an adversary. There are some people that oppose you for no reason at all. You ever met people just contrary for no reason at all? They just want to oppose you. Whatever you say, they oppose you. Well, I think we can do this. No, we can't. I think we can go over there. No, we can't. I think this is white. I think it's black. I think that's gray. I think it's green. I think this is blue. I think it's beige. What are you, colorblind or something? Some folks just contrary on purpose. And so enemies or adversaries or troublers or opposers, those that are against you. David said, hey, look, I've got these categorized opponents that stumble. They're wicked. They're my enemies. They're my foes. I like the definition for foe, although I don't like these people. Foe means they're a hater. They're hostile. You know how people just hate on you for no reason at all? I don't like Kobe Bryant. Why? Because he paid for the Lakers. Just hater for no reason at all. I don't like Kobe Bryant. Why? I don't like gold and purple. I don't like Kobe Bryant. Why? He got money. Just a hater for no reason at all. I don't like Kobe Bryant. Why? His daughters look good. Mine don't. His wife look good, mine don't. His wife got long hair and I don't. I don't like Kobe Bryant. Just a hater for no reason. Hostile. And no reason at all to be hostile. David said, these are the type of people that I have faith that God's going to get me through. He said, these people are my personal war buddies that are going against me. And in the past, God has always delivered me from the wicked, from the enemies, and from the foes. Notice what he says about them, verse number 2 again. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they what? Stumbled and fell. You know what David said? This is past tense. This already happened. I've had these people in my life. They've been enemies. They've been foes. They've been wicked. And guess what? Every time they tried, they stumbled and fell. Every time. Why? Because God is my light. And because God's my salvation. And God's the strength of my life. I don't have to be afraid of them. Why? They stumbled and fell. I got the record. I saw him. I took a Polaroid of him. Pow. Got a snapshot of him. Boom. Got a selfie. Look at him falling. Pow. I got it. They stumbled. This is past tense. I know what my God can do. So David saw these categorized opponents stumbling, the wicked, the enemies, the foes. They stumbled and fell, past tense. And God works in potential deliverance as well. David said, based on the past, let me tell you about the potential. And David said, I have confident outlook as a saint. Notice verse number 3. Confident outlook as a saint. He says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. A host would be a gathering of troops. He said, this gathering of troops, if they come against me, guess what? They'll be just like the wicked. They'll be just like my enemies. They'll be just like these that stumbled and fell. They will be like the foes, the enemies, and the wicked. I don't care if it's a host of them or a troop of them. Christian, that should be encouraging for you, because the God that delivered you yesterday will deliver you today, will deliver you tomorrow by his good grace and his good power. He is able. David said, I'm trusting the God of the past to be the God of potential future, whatever may happen in my life. He said, though a host should come against me, the war should rise against me. A war was a battling or a fighting or an engagement. He said, I'll be confident in this. And what, David? He's my light. He's my salvation. And he's my strength. I'm confident. He said, because of what he did yesterday, and because of what he did here, and because of what he did there, because of what he did with me against the Goliath giant, what he did against the lion, what he did against the bear, what he did as I was coming up in King Saul's court and how I behaved myself wisely, what he did, each one of those, what's going on right now, I'm not going to fear. I don't have to worry about it. Why? They stumbled and fell. I got proof. Enemies, foes, wicked, I don't worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. He said, what happens in the future? A host rise against me? I don't have to worry about it. What does the song say? The Lord keeps me safe in time of trouble. My heart shall not fear. My heart shall not fear. Hey, folks. He said, the wars rise against me. I don't worry about it. That's what he goes on to say. Based on the past deliverances, he says, in this will I be confident. The potential danger won't bother me. I'm confident. Then he shifts gears a little bit more, verses 4-6. David says, so far I can see, I'm saved, I'm strong, and I'm strong in faith through personal wars. These categorized opponents, they're going to stumble and fall. I have a confident outlook as a saint. But then David says, but also for personal worship, God's going to get me through. When it's time to worship, you know when the toughest time for the saint is to worship?
Yes, sir.
To get a hold of God. That's one of the toughest times. Why? The devil's going to fight it tooth and nail. Because he doesn't want you to pay attention. He doesn't want you to pay attention. So he will bring everything into your mind. He will flood your mind about everything at your job, everything at your home, everything at your school, everything that you want to do. Your kids will distract you. You'll drop this. Your phone will go off. Your beeper will go off. Everything in there, brother, that can happen. I got to go to the bathroom. I've got to do this. Worship is one of the toughest times for the saint. Why? I'm getting a hold of God. I'm giving God what's due to him. And why is it so tough? Satan fights it because Satan wants your worship. He told Jesus, I will give you everything if you bow down and worship me. So David says, you know what? Through personal wars, my faith is going to stand against these categorized opponents. They are stumbling. I'm confident. I've got outlook as a saint. But then he says, through personal worship, David is seeking to dwell perpetually in the house of the Lord. Notice verse number 4. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David said, you know what? I wish I could dwell perpetually in the house of the Lord. I want to be where the priests are at. The priests don't have to worry about anything. They're closed up inside the house of God. The only thing they have to worry about is ministering to Almighty God. They don't have to worry about the this or that or the other. They go inside the temple. They close the door. They lock it. No one's allowed in there but them and them only. They don't have to worry about distractions. They don't have to worry about this. They don't have to worry about the wars. They don't have to worry about this. They can just get in there and lock themselves in, and they can work. He said, I want to be there. One thing have I desired of the Lord. I don't have to run from Saul. I don't have to run from Absalom. I can just be a priest and be in the house of God. He said, I desire that. I desire that. Well, I don't know about you. I value my time with the Lord. I value it. I want to get along with Him. I don't want distractions. I want to be alone with Him. And it's sweet. David said, one thing have I desired. I want to dwell perpetually all the days of my life in the Lord's house, seeking to dwell perpetually for personal worship. But then he said, I want to have some discerning in my prayers. I want to discern prayerfully. Notice what he says at the end of that verse there. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He said, I want to discern prayerfully. I want to come in and ask God. I want to inquire about these things. And why is Absalom after me? Why is King Saul after me? I've done no wrong, Lord. What's going on? Hey, folks, sometimes we get that way. And we just want to know, God, why? Why are they that way at my job? Why are they that way at home? Why are they that way at school? Why are they that way in public? Why are they that way over here? Well, why did that? When I go to the supermarket, I find it. Why when I turn on my television, I see it? Why are they trying to do these things over here? Lord, why are they impeaching our president? Lord, why are they speaking evil about you? Lord, why are they kicking the Bible out of school? Why are they kicking prayer out of the school? Lord, why? I just want to ask why. David said, I want to get in there and inquire in his temple. What's going on? Hey, folks, 2020 is going to bring some baffling things your way. If 2019 didn't, 2020 sure will. Some things you don't understand. Some things you wonder why it's happening. Why is it happening to me? Why is it happening to my wife? Why is it happening to my children? Why are we being attacked spiritually? Why has the devil got a vendetta against us? Why are the people at my job seem to be against me? Why do they want to mock my God and the stance that I take? Why do they want to just talk about the things that I hold dear? I don't quite understand them all myself, but I definitely don't want someone talking about them. David said, inquire. I want to know why. He wanted to dwell perpetually in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. He said, I want to discern prayerfully. I want to inquire in his temple. Perhaps David, being on the run, had the desire to be in the physical presence of the house of God and to ask about his current situation. Maybe it could be like the cities of refuge, where he can just go into the house of God and escape, be by himself. But then David says something else down there that resembles Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. And what did David say there? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Same thing. Why did he say that in Psalm 23? There's a security and a peace there. There's a confidence that's there. And folks, I don't know about you. When I first got saved, there was a confidence and a security in coming to the house of God and hearing the preaching and listening to see what I needed to be to go back home and be the husband I needed to be, to see what I needed to be for my boss when I went to work on Monday, to see what I needed to be when I became a parent down the road, to see how I needed to conduct myself when I went into the bowling alley when I bowled on my team, to see how I needed to conduct myself on the basketball court. There was a security and a confidence and a peace that I had when I went in the house of God and I listened to the preaching and say, that's how I need to behave myself. That's how I need to act. David said, look, my light, my strength, my salvation, God is going to tell me how to behave myself when it comes to Saul, when it comes to Absalom. I don't want to do anything I ought not do and something I regret. I want to be right. And folks, there's something about just being in the house of God. And David said, I want to dwell there perpetually. I want to discern prayerfully, inquire in his temple. And David said something else down there in verse number 5. He wanted to be secretly hidden and securely setting. Notice what he says in verse number 5. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. That was a covering that was there. He said, the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me He shall set me upon a rock. David said, figuratively speaking, if I could just get in there, God's going to protect me. God's going to keep me. Figuratively speaking, I know I can't go into the temple. I know I can't go in there and worship. But oh, I desire to be in that type of a setting where I'm protected, where I'm prayerful. I got the privacy of my God. I've got him on my side. I've got the desire to be there. I know I can't. But oh, I'd love to be. Oh, I'd love to be. David said, I'd like to be secretly hidden and securely setting. A rock there means a cliff or a refuge. Pavilion there is the hut or den. The tabernacle is the dwelling place. David said, I want to feel the protection that's there, even though I can't be there. In verse 6, David says one more thing. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yay. I will sing praises unto the Lord. David said, I'm going to be set up securely. Head's going to be above my enemies. There's a quote that came out of the treasury of David. It says this in reference to above mine enemies. A man cannot drown so long as his head is above water. You get that? Now, how many of y'all been close to drowning? I've been close. I was close to drowning one time. And I knew this. If I could just get to the bottom and bounce back up and get my head above water, I could get some air. I wasn't out quite so far. Say, preacher, why was it such a frightful thing? Because this was a time when I was totally inebriated with alcohol. My body would have washed out. My wife would have got notified that they found my body. But I knew if I could just keep my head above water, if I could just bounce on the bottom and get back up and get some air, go back down again. I had enough sense in me in my drunken state to know that. And guess what? Eventually happened. I bounced all the way to shore where my head was above. Then my shoulders was above. Then I drugged myself to the shore. And folks, guess what? That's the last time I drank and tried to go swimming. That was so stupid. It was so foolish. I could have drowned. David said, my head's above mine enemies. David said, I can't drown so long as my head is above. And then he said, as a result of me being set securely, I'm going to offer the sacrifice of singing. Notice what it says down there in verse 6 again. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. David said down there, my head's lifted up. Guess what I am? Hey, I'm set up securely. Therefore, will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifice of joy? I will sing, yay, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He said, I'm going to offer the sacrifice of singing. I'm assured of victory. I'm vowing to praise God for the victory. So David's singing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. So in the first half of this psalm here, David is singing the victory song on the faith side. He said, you know what? I don't care what happens. I know where I've been. I can see. I'm saved. I'm strong through personal wars. It matters not. Through personal worship, I have what I need. I'm going on. I'm going forward. Nothing is going to get in my way. Folks, we're going to have days when nothing seems to get in our way. The wicked, the enemies, the foes, they're not going to matter. The host, the wars, it's not going to matter. Wanting to dwell perpetually, discern prayerfully in the house of the Lord, but can't get there. Being secretly hitting and secretly setting upon the rock. Asking God to do those things when it seems to be difficult. We're going to have those times. We're going to have those times. And David said, every time I came up to that, I was always above mine enemies. I was always set above. Didn't matter. I was always above. Folks, that's good. My head should be lifted. And David said, as a result, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. Folks, there's nothing like singing when God's giving you the victory. The only thing better than singing when God's giving you the victory is singing while the battle is going on at the same time. That's about the only thing better. It's singing, saying, I can't see the end of this now, but I know it's coming. David said, my head's going to be lifted above my enemies. And so I'm going to sing praises unto him. Oh, I'm going to sing. He said, yay, I will sing. He says it twice. I will sing, yay, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And as a result of me singing, it's all because of what God has done. He's going to turn the corner here next week, and he's going to go into some of the fear. But right now, David said, I've got faith. God's working. Folks, whilst we have that kind of faith, give God the glory for being our light. Give him the glory for being our salvation. Give him the faith for being the strength of our life, because that's the only way we can get through it. It's the only way. But guess what? That's the only way we get through the fear too. Having him as our light, having him as our salvation, having him as the strength of our, that's the only way we get through. Perhaps you're here today, you say, preacher, I don't know if he's my light, my salvation. Make sure. Make sure. David, assured of the victory, says, I'm going to sing, yay, I'm going to sing. And if you're not saved, he wants to save you today. He can be your shepherd. He can be your Lord. And he can be whatever you need him to be. Whether it's light, whether it's salvation, whether it's the strength of your life. David said, I can see. I'm saved. I have strength. Folks, no matter how bad it gets, God is our light. And it might get bad. Now, I pray, God, that none of us have to go through what Kobe Bryant's wife had to go through. Left without a father and left without one of your children. I pray that never happens to us. But what if it does? God is still our light. He's still got to be our salvation. And he's definitely got to be the strength of my life. Don't say it won't happen to you, because it might. It might happen to me. David said, I don't know how it's going to work out with Absalom. I don't know how it's going to work out with Saul, but I know this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then he lists all the things that he was able to get through. And folks, 2020, you can get through. If you can see, and if you're saved and you have God's strength, you can get through it just like David did. My head's bowed and eyes are closed. So I'm looking around. Lord, I don't know what 2020 is going to hold, but David gives us a vision of how it could be. He lets us know that light, we can see, we have it. Salvation, we're saved, we have it. Strength of our life, we have it, Lord, because you are Jehovah, the self-existent one. Lord, help us to utilize it by looking back at our past deliverances and looking at potential dilemmas that may happen and recognize that we can make it through your strength, through the hosts, through the wars. Lord, help us desire to dwell in your house perpetually and prayerfully, being secretly hidden by you and having a secure setting, having our heads above our enemies. Work in our midst today, Lord, like only you can. Maybe there's someone today that needs to hear this. Claim you as their light and salvation, strength. Lord, I pray for that husband, that wife, that child, that daughter, that son, that they can grab a hold of David's words here. Know that it's the word of Almighty God. And then, Lord, maybe there's one today that's not saved. They need to be saved. They need that salvation. Lord, save that man, that woman, that boy or girl today. But through it all, Lord, be for us what we need you to be. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Right where you're at, if you're not saved here today, let me speak to you just for a moment. Jesus Christ loves you. And he wants to save you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation doesn't come through joining a church or being baptized or being good or keeping the Ten Commandments. Salvation comes through trusting Christ as Savior. And if you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of your sins today, perhaps you're not saved. I would hate for you to leave here without Christ as your Savior. And right where you're at, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and looking around,
If you would like me to pray for you and say, preacher, would you pray that I can get that thing settled about being saved? I don't want to go to hell. I'd love to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I'm going. If you want me to pray for you just right where you're at, just raise your hand and you can put it right back down. Amen. I see one hand. Is there another? Preacher, I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. Well, Christian, how about you? Are you facing one of these times like David could be facing? Maybe Saul is after you, or an Absalom is after you. You're going through some difficulties. It feels like wars and wicked people. It feels like enemies and foes against you. Do what David did. Have the Lord as your light, your salvation and strength, and say, I'm not going to fear. God's going to take care of it. Father, bless now this invitation, the one that raised their hand, help them to be able to get it settled today. To know heaven is their final destination. And Lord, give them clarity of thought, give them confidence, give them the faith to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And for Christians, Lord, help us to do what you've called us to do, and that's make a difference in this world. And Lord, as we navigate through these foes and enemies and wicked people, help us to have the same stand that David has, trusting you. Knowing that we can see, knowing that we're saved, and knowing you are our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.